Good morning. It's Sharifa Hardy joining you for another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I'm excited. It's Wednesday. Happy Wednesday. We got to find some jokes, some camel jokes, some hump day jokes, whatever we have to do. We didn't have them today, but by next Wednesday, between myself and one of our guests, we're going to come up with some interesting ways to make Wednesday fun. But I know today's guests are going to be fun because we've been having a ball backstage in the green room discussing today's topics. But before I go ahead and bring on our guests, I'm going to ask you to do what I always ask you to do, and that's to go ahead and share this show. If you haven't already told someone that the Roundtable Talk Show is on, then you're not doing your job. I need you to work with me. This is a team effort, right? I share, you share. We all share the information that we have today because we know that friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. So today we have some new friends, and then we have some returning friends that you may recognize because they have some incredible stories, and their stories were so incredible, I just had to bring them back. I want to go ahead and introduce our first guest. Our first guest is Sue Wilhite. She was talking to us last time about tarot reading, the art of tarot reading. She tried to make one of our guests a believer. I'm not sure if she did by giving him a three-card reading. We'll have to follow up, but I know she definitely made me a believer. Good morning, Sue. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I am doing excellently well. It is fabulous to be back on your show.
Thank you for coming back. I didn't even give you due justice. I don't like when I do that. Like I focus on one thing. I'm like, she's a great tarot reader. We had her do it live on the show, but I forget that your main focus is helping people attract profit. So you are a profit attraction master. You
Yes.
also focus on coaching people with the law of attraction and attracting what they would really like into their lives. Is that correct, Sue?
That is, and I would add one more thing. I also help people get rid of the things that are getting in their way because the law of attraction really goes from what you really, really want, what your vibration is putting out there. So you can say all day, I want a profit, I want more money, I want a Lamborghini, I want, a relationship that makes Romeo and Juliet look like gophers. I mean, but if your underlying unconscious beliefs are, I can never have that, then you're never going to have it. And the law of attraction is going to reflect what the highest held energy is. And typically that's the unconscious one. So it takes a lot more work to get what you want through conscious playing out of what your vision is. It's much easier if you clear all that underlying garbage and what we call negative beliefs, although I don't call them negative myself, because they were there to protect you from something. So I help get rid of the stuff that's getting in your way so that you can have a thriving business, a thriving life, and do what you want to do to change the world.
I love that. And that's what I think everybody's focused on right now is changing the world. And we
Right.
do that one person at a time, one conversation at a time, one business, one entrepreneur, one nonprofit. Everything starts with just one. We saw that on the show yesterday with the power of one. So that's what I've been focusing on this week. One of the things that you mentioned is how to let go and how to get rid of certain things. One of the things that I've learned as far as manifestation is we always focus on, I want this, I want this. And then we focus on it. And then all of a sudden, our life falls apart. It's like now we've lost our spouse. Now we've lost our job. Now we've lost the things that we felt are important. But we might not have realized that those things may have been the very things that we need to let go of in order to attract that abundance. Am I wrong, Sue? Or am I just.
You are 100% right. And this is what stops a lot of people is they see chaos going on in their life, but chaos is where creativity comes in. That letting go and you can call it kind of shedding of stuff that no longer serve you. And people hang on to, how many times, Sharifa, and any of the rest of you, have you heard somebody say, oh, well, this relationship really sucks, but I'm going to hang in there, or this job really sucks, but I'm going to hang in there. And it takes something in the universe to go, to make people go, oh yeah, that really sucked. That was really driving me down.
Yes, because people would stay there. I tell myself that, I say that all the time, because I was laid off 8 times. And people don't believe that, but I was laid off 8 times. And each time was different reasons. None of them, absolutely none of them, had something to do with me. Companies relocated, companies downsized, companies went out of business. But each time I wanted to, you know, be an employee as opposed to an employer or being self-employed. But the universe, that's what my first book was about. God kept closing the door, because if God hadn't closed that door, I would still be at that job, you know, doing right. the same thing.
Exactly.
Now, on our last show, again, I mentioned that you gave Paul, it was Paul Faust, the reading, the 3-card reading. And I didn't know if you made him a believer. So he's here this morning and he said he's ready for his next reading. So I don't know if you want to do it again for him, if you want to do it for someone in general, maybe pick a person. But we want to see this again, Sue.
Okay. What I'd like to do is do a 3-card reading for the energy of the day.
That's wonderful.
The what's up reading is what I call it. And what's cool about this, and I want to make it really clear, and I'm not sure I mentioned it the last time, I don't do fortune telling. And if anybody tells you they're predicting the future, unless they're a quantum physicist and they can tell you where a particle is going, run away. Seriously. I do not predict the future. What I do is I tell what the energies are that might be moving forward. And you can choose to go that direction, or you can say, not for me, not going there. And
I love, reject it. I love that you say that, Sue. That makes perfect sense. One of the things that the way I describe it, because sometimes people get a hard time wrapping their mind around what exactly this is. And I think it makes it easier when you give people an example. I always say the reading is like a GPS, right? Yes. A GPS in your phone doesn't tell you the future, but it tells you based on where you are right now, if yes. you stay on this current path and there are no unforeseen accidents, or you don't use your free will to make a stop or run an errand, then in approximately 45 minutes, this is where you might wind up.
Right, exactly. And oh my, you might decide to take a detour and get off the road and go to, you know, some really cool little bistro for coffee.
Right, because you still have free will.
And the GPS is not going to show that. Right?
Yes.
But you can get right back on if you want.
Yes. What's the energy of the day, Sue?
All right.
I'm excited. It's Wednesday, hump day. Let's get our hump day reading.
Let's get going. Okay.
My other guests are like, what did I walk into? I never thought I'd be here. I'm like, I just like asking some questions. Like, what's our energy?
All right. So Sharifa, you're going to be the point person for this. You, yes. So what I'm going to do is I've got the cards laid out beside me.
Okay.
And they're all face down. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to move my finger across the top of the cards. And you're going to say, now. And I'm going to drop my finger and pick a card. And we're going to do that 3 times.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I'm moving.
Now.
That one.
Now.
Whoa.
I gotta move fast. I've only got an hour. I'm like now.
Okay, we're taking that one. Okay.
Can we go now? Now.
Yeah. Now.
Yes.
Now. All right.
Okay, what do we have for the energy for today, Sue?
Nice.
That we all gonna be mega billionaires.
All right. Yes. So yes. Remember what we were just talking about, where we were saying, you know, there's all this stuff in the way that mm-hmm. you've got to get rid of before you can move on. Well, the energy of the day, this first card, let's see, we could do this, is called oppression. Mm. And it's about all of the bindings that we put on ourselves.
Okay.
It's the ties that we put on ourselves. So this is a day to recognize this. This is absolutely reflecting what we were just talking about. Now, the way to get through that is the surfer card.
Mm-hmm.
This is stay on the surface. Don't get bogged down in those things that are holding you down. And mm-hmm. remember, if you fall off the surfboard, you've got a wrist strap or an ankle strap. You can just climb right back on and keep riding the wave.
And okay. Finally,
this is so cool. The last card is the universe. And yes. The universe is having it all.
Yes.
So if you free yourself from or recognize the bindings that are in your way, let go of them, pop up to the surface, ride the wave of success, you get it all.
That was so beautiful. I love it. I have more questions for you too, because I promise we're going to talk about Profit Attraction Master. I'm going to come right back to you. I have to jump over here to Jeff Rizzo. Jeff is here. He is the co-founder of the Slumber Yard. Jeff, what do you think?
I'm fired up. I want another reading.
I don't know. We'll see how much time we have. I got to allow enough time for everyone. But tell us about Slumber Yard.
Yeah, well, the simplest way to explain it is it's one of the leading sleep websites out there. We write all sorts of articles on how to optimize your sleep. Mm-hmm. On top of that, we also do reviews of popular sleep-related products. So anytime you want to learn about sleep, our website is one of the top websites that you can go to. And we've been operating it for years, and a bunch of us are certified sleep science coaches, and we work with a bunch of chiropractors and other folks in the healthcare industry to create the best content around sleep.
Okay. You sound so excited about sleep, Jeff. Why are you so excited about sleep?
You know, sleep is, I think for years there's been this, a lot of people think, you know, you should stay up late, you should work as long as you can, you should wake early. And I think now we're starting to realize just how important sleep is. So I think one of the most exciting things is that people are now realizing, like, you should not be sacrificing sleep for other things in your day. Possibly the best thing you could do is get more sleep. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm just excited to be on the show in general. but I think sleep itself is actually a growing category, because people are becoming a lot more aware of the fact that it's possibly the most important thing you can do in your day or your night.
Mm-hmm. Jeff, did you see that they just released a longitudinal study of 20 years worth of sleep studies and showed that of all the causes of death, having more sleep prevents or reduces your chances of just about everything across the board except for cancer?
It's amazing. I'm not surprised at all. It reduces your risk for a lot of different diseases. Sleep deprivation, it can mimic signs of driving drunk. I mean, it's just amazing what it can do when you don't have the correct amount of sleep.
Jeff, I got in a discussion yesterday. I was on a live like masterclass call for a certain formula for like launching a product. And the guy's like, you know, you're just going to have to, he was telling another entrepreneur, he said, you're just going to have to like, you know, bear down and see what I did there, Ken, bear down and be able to, you know, just, I know you're tired, but you can't take the time to recover. Like, you know, my first time that I did a product launch, like I didn't sleep for 2 weeks. And like, I was just like alive in the chat. Like, no, that's ridiculous advice. Like the product that you would end up launching would be crap anyway. Like no human can survive with 2 weeks of zero sleep. Like he's not, you know, he's exaggerating, and like your health is not worth any success of any business. And so like the guy came back on live after like reading my post and was like, I just want to make sure I'm saying that I'm not recommending it. I'm just saying it can be done. And I was just like, okay, like I'm done. Like it can't be done. It shouldn't be done. And it shouldn't be advocated for. And anybody who tells you that being an entrepreneur like requires a 24-hour grind for however long, like you're building the life that you want. And I don't think any of us want a sleep deprivation life. I'm a mom and a wife, and I know I'm a horrible human being when I don't get the right amount of sleep, and I'm definitely not the most valuable person. So that's why I was like all about it when you were talking about sleep being essentially one of the top three keys to success in business. And people just seem to not it's not about being busy. It's about being your optimal self and bringing the most value to whatever you're doing. And you simply can't do that physiologically without sleep. Now, there are some human beings who are built, as you know, Jeff, that 6 hours is more optimal than 8 hours, or, you know, they have those kinds of differentiations. But it's really, when Sharifa sent me the information on you that we were going to be here, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to tell Jeff about this epic battle that I just had yesterday with, you know, somebody who's made millions of dollars, but at what cost, you know, like at what cost, what has he cut off of his life and his health because of that?
Yeah. This just is another reminder that I never want to have a masterclass, huh? No, I think that was a great comment. You know, something my grandmother and mother used to remind me of all the time is everything in moderation. There's going to be days where you don't have sleep. You're an entrepreneur. It's just the nature of the beast. But just if you can try sacrificing sleep a little bit less. Of course, you're going to have many sleepless nights, and you just try to have it all in moderation. But keep in mind that sleep is not something that you want to compromise if you have other alternatives.
So I have more questions for you, but since we had that introduction and our guest, I love when our guest just kind of introduced themselves. You may recognize her face, but I'm pretty sure you'll recognize her voice. She was just speaking with us, but she was on a previous episode of the Roundtable Talk Show and shared her incredible journey from a young age when she had a heart condition to where she is now, a Better Place Consulting. Good morning, buddy. How are you?
I am fantabulous. Can we use that word? I just did. So it's a word now. So
you are hilarious.
Can't use it. We're not allowed to use it. Sorry. That was actually specifically stricken from the record. We're not allowed to use that word.
Okay. So I am incredible, remarkable. Let's combine those words. I'll leave that to Ken to put those words together in a blender. But yeah, feeling really blessed, happy to be here. I've realized at this point that Jeff and I are going to have our own conversation about the comment of I'll sleep when I'm dead, and that I'm going to take Sue for surfing lessons, because either Sue is the best surfer ever where she can get back on the board on the same wave, or Sue and I need to go out for surfing lessons so that we can understand how, you know, it's so metaphorical what Sue was talking about. When you do lose the wave, there's still normally in a set of waves, there's still three or four waves that are going to come out, but it still takes the work of getting your board back, paddling back out, and being able to prepare yourself for the next wave so that you don't, you know, lose it again. So yeah, when Sue was talking about the surfing card and was just like, yeah, you know, you just get your board back and get back on that wave. I was like, damn, Sue is probably one of the best surfers that I know, or like, we're going to need to go surfing. Cause I've been surfing for 20 something years and like, I've never caught the same wave.
Bunny, you are thinking too hard. You're going too deep, buddy. This is just a little story to give us an idea, an example of getting back on the board, which you know a lot about. You've been knocked off the board. You've been, you know, holding on by the string, all of that. You probably went over under the water quite a few times. Tell us a little bit about you and what you do, buddy.
You look like you're under the water right now with the little sea horses and stuff behind you.
Yes. So I'm actually, and Sharifa and I were talking about this last time, is that I'm in our guest bedroom because I have a heart condition. And so the past pretty much 4 months have meant that I haven't driven into my office, and I live in the rural countryside of Virginia. I was born and raised on the West Coast in Southern California, obviously the surfer. I'm also a cowgirl. And when we were talking about kind of like my introduction, all of these things that I've done when I was listening to Sue and kind of looking at the things that we've let go of, I've been a stunt woman, I've been a professional model, I've lived in Ecuador and volunteered at an orphanage. And all of those things, I was a licensed therapist. I actually still have my license in the state of Virginia, but I'm a business therapist. And most of what I do is help people go through their experiences in order to polish their purpose and in order to lean more into that. And so it doesn't mean when you're unhappy at your job, you can choose to be unhappy at your job, or you can choose to know that that's not your ending place, but that you're there for a reason, and that there's learning and experience that you can take away from that, that will ultimately lead to your next chapter in life. But the business therapy part of it, that's why, you know, I was so passionate when I was talking to Jeff, is that so many people put themselves in this role of parent or, you know, caregiver or employee, and give their most valuable resource, their life, to somebody else or to a job or to, you know, in this idea, this American idea of, well, I'm going to retire at 50 or I'm going to retire at 60, and then I'm going to do all the things that give me happiness or bring me purpose. Like, if you, it's not, you're not going to be able to hike the Appalachian Trail. Like, I know at least 4 60 year olds who have proved me wrong on this statement, but you're not going to be able to hike the Appalachian Trail. Like, that at 60 is not the time to do it. In your 20s, is that your time to do it? So you're seeing more and more kids take a gap year, young adults take a gap year. And you're seeing more and more individuals take the entrepreneurial path, not because it's easier, but because they're finding themselves in a situation where they want to lean into their purpose sooner rather than later, because they understand there's no pension, there's no gold watch anymore, at least in Western culture. And so rather than giving your most valuable resource to somebody else, but being able to bring that back in and give yourself your most valuable resource and then build the foundation from there. And that's how I am, you know, a better mom and a better, I'm an army wife. And so I've studied at length kind of like, why do we put our soldiers and our military individuals through this basic training? Well, it's to give them a sense of core values and purpose and mission, which isn't that what every corporation tries to put on their wall, is their mission, vision, core values. But do we spend 13 weeks in our corporate teams kind of making sure that we have the right people in the right places and that they're living and breathing the mission and the vision of the company? So that's where I lean into as a business therapist, is asking those difficult questions and holding space to fulfill your purpose, either within your current position, but also within your life. And I don't see a separation of personal and professional life. I think those are absolutely entwined, and you can't be happy in one and unhappy in the other. And so that's why I moved away from being a traditional therapist, is because most of my clients were unhappy with either financial limitations or with their boss. And so I went into the companies and decided that I would make the difference from the inside of the company versus from, you know, my office in on a couch.
Wow, that was beautiful. We got a lot more out today about what you actually do, because I don't think we spoke about that aspect in that detail the last time that you were here. And I completely agree with you, because one of the last companies that I worked for was American Express. And before you actually became an official employee, depending on how much experience you had, you would take either an 8-week training course or a 12-week training course before you actually started. And then you would have 2 weeks of on-the-job training before, you know, you're basically left alone in population. But that's the thing that I noticed that large corporations do, whereas entrepreneurs, we don't have that luxury. Small business owners, we don't take that luxury. We just hire somebody and then we do what we've always called trial by fire, which basically means you start, come here on Monday at 8 o'clock, you start your job, this is what you need to do, and then you kind of figure it out, and if you don't mess up too bad, you get to keep your job. There isn't actual training.
One other thing that I had the pleasure of partnering with a woman named Sheba Williams, who is a previously incarcerated individual, last week. And her and I worked together the entire week just on a mic share, you know, using my platform to help her share her mic. And one of the entrepreneurial insights that I had is that so many individuals who are incarcerated and then released, they do their best, most purpose-driven work behind bars. Why? Because their freedom is at stake.
Ooh, yes.
And so it's like, you know, it's a perspective that, you know, Jeff, to go back to the 2 weeks of no sleep, it's like, what will we do when we feel like our purpose is being challenged? And one of the best questions that I was asked last week, that was just a aha, and hopefully for our listeners and your listeners today, is what would you riot for? Rather than standing there and judging the individuals because of the actions that they're taking, think about that somebody taking your purpose and putting it at risk. And what length would you go to in order to make sure that that wouldn't happen? And so for, you know, Ken and Sue and Jeff, you know, when we're doing our work, it's like we couldn't wake up in the morning and imagine doing anything different. And we're that driven to our purpose. And so if somebody took all of that away, what would we do to make sure that we could get back to that space and have that freedom?
That's an interesting question. I want to come back to you. I want to give that question some thought, but I want to introduce our next guest, Mr. Ken Mosian. He's passionate about helping CEOs thrive and succeed. He focuses on global leadership training. Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Good morning, Sharif. I'm doing great. How are you today?
Wonderful, wonderful. You have been so patient. I appreciate it. Because what happens is before every show, people, either the individual or their team, emails me and they're like, what are we going to discuss? What are the topics? I'm like, I don't know. The conversation goes organically. And then 40 minutes into the show, I realized, okay, wait, I have one more guest that I have to introduce. So what do you think about some of the comments in the conversation we had this morning thus far?
Yeah, well, thank you. The patience is really born out of my love of listening. And I find that my effectiveness in work really has come from just sitting back and listening and getting a sense of where people are at. I was taken by several of the comments and kind of walked through everybody, but the notion of the importance of sleep, we can't overstate that. Just in terms of what it does to empower us. I was reminded of a study, I believe it was in the book, The One Thing, in which they took a look at parole judges and their optimal performance over the course of a day. It was one of the most fascinating things I had seen. And judges at the beginning of the day, well-rested, food, drink, were paroling about 60% of the parolees that came in. That declined, and by mid-morning, it was down to zero. Mm-hmm. When they took a break, rested a bit, had something to drink, a snack, came back, it jumped back up to 60%. And it kept on like that during the day, but in decreasing amounts. And the fascinating thing to me was it was a real-time demonstration of the fact that our brains actually burn energy and need that rest. Otherwise, it simply becomes contaminated time. Things just slide in from one thing to another. So I have a great appreciation for that whole conversation around sleep. I was thinking too about the GPS piece and the conversation you were having with Sue about that and what it means to actually take that first step to like put the car in drive, right? Because the GPS isn't going to start working until we actually start moving. And when I come to that first intersection, I grew up in a rural community in California. We had a lot of very tall cornfields. And in the summer, when you were driving, you literally were in a tunnel of corn and you couldn't see what was on either side of you until you got to the intersection, stopped and looked both ways and then realized, I didn't know that that was over there. I could make a left turn here and probably get there more quickly. And this was very pre-GPS, let me tell you. So this was pre-cell phone. This was just at the advent of the automobile. So there's a great appreciation for that notion of just start, just put it in drive and go and see what happens, you know, and see what develops. And I think that's just essential. And the work that I do really is focused around training leadership teams so that CEOs can be freed up to create the future. Mm-hmm. And in conversations I've had with a couple of dozen owner, founder CEOs, and that seemed to be key. The biggest concern that they had as their companies grew or changed was that they couldn't let go of the day-to-day operations. Mm-hmm. They still had to have one hand back in there. And it wasn't because they didn't trust their teams for some malicious reason. They trusted the people they had hired, but they had never invested the time in training them. Because to an earlier point, an entrepreneurial venture oftentimes is like 0 to 100 miles an hour in a day. And the people that they hired were there to just execute, just get it done. And they had never really been trained in what it meant to think critically and to evaluate things and to lead. And once those teams have those skills, then CEOs can turn to the future more confidently. They can do that thing that they love to do, which is create and invent, and be able to trust that their company is being run well.
I think that was beautiful, well said. It's one of the most difficult aspects for me. It's not the training aspect, it's the delegation aspect, you know, yeah. Because people always ask, what is your strength? What is your weakness? And I know one of my biggest weaknesses is delegation. It's hard for me to delegate because I know my work ethic. I know what I expect. I know what I would do. I know that if I have a project that has to be completed, I'm not going to leave. I'm not going to go home until that project is complete. I understand urgency, where a lot of times when someone has an employee mindset, it's like, okay, but it's 5:00, so I have to go. It doesn't matter that we need to get this out. It doesn't matter that this is urgent for the company. They just look at the hours in the day. So it's one of the things that I'm working on as a business owner as my company expands, but I can tell you it has been very difficult for me.
I think it's challenging for just a couple reasons. And number one is when you talk about you have a particular standard, you know, it means that your employees need to have a mindset of an owner. They need to have the sense of that I talk about of 100% responsibility. It doesn't mean that I'm going to do everything. It just means that my vision actually extends to everything happening around me so that I have a sense of responsibility for what's happening. Attendant to that is really being clear on like, what is the absolute minimum that we need to accomplish in terms of quality and output? What are the things that I'm expecting of you? Mm-hmm. And then being able to communicate those things. I think oftentimes entrepreneurs think, well, they can see by example. I work mm-hmm. long hours. I do this. I put out a quality product. They certainly must know what all of our values are. They certainly must know what's expected of them. Mm-hmm. And yet it's those non-communicated expectations that most often lead to some sort of failure. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not from a place of being malicious. It's from a place of a lack of communication. Just last point on this for delegation, I think this is a great tip. Once you delegate something, you're actually transferring ownership. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to be honest with your team. It's saying, look, if I'm giving you this project, I want to make sure you understand all the components of it. And to that end, please tell me back what you understood me to just ask of you. And secondly, yeah. When I hand it off to you, you own it. You own the success. You own the failure. You own all of it. And I'm not going to now become your administrative assistant and babysit you through the project. Mm-hmm. And that's a simplified explanation of it, but it's that transfer where people honestly then take it on as their own, knowing that they're going to own the results.
Mm-hmm. Bunny, you had something to say on that?
Yeah, Ken, I was gifted with a heart condition as a teenager. Yeah. And so, you know, I'm a third generation entrepreneur, and my grandfather always said, you know, if you put the people first, then, you know, the quality and people, he meant his people, like his team. And he always referred to it as our company. And as I already alluded to, I grew up around horses. And so, you know, I spent a lot of time kind of researching herds. And in the most well-oiled companies, they function kind of like a herd instead of like predators, you know, from like a top-down type way. There's an alpha mare in every herd, but that alpha mare is not the best horse. She's not the CEO. She becomes the alpha mare by continuously demonstrating her ability to put the needs of the herd first. You know, if she just continually looked for horses that were like her, you know, it wouldn't have this well-rounded. And I look at it now, and it's 2020 of like, now that we're teaching diversity and we're teaching all of this, you know, a herd of horses doesn't look and like judge people or judge horses by if they're millennials or what color the horse is. They look at how, you know, the herd can best function. And so when I say I was gifted with a heart condition, I now have 5 companies, but I work on average less than 10 hours a week. And that's because being diagnosed with a heart condition, being in the hospital, you know, and then having these miracles of these two kids, I was out of my company for 4 to 6 months at a time. And if I'm hospitalized, I'm out of my company unexpectedly. You know, it's not like a vacation where I can plan for me being out. It's like I drop, I'm unconscious, and I'm in the hospital. And so it kind of forced me beneficially into creating companies that could run independent of me. And I explained to entrepreneurs and I explained to business owners and CEOs, if you've created a company that's dependent on you, you've created a JOB. You haven't created a company. And so, you know, knowing that I have this heart condition means that my companies only become assets to my family, and all this work is only beneficial if after I'm gone, the individuals that work for the companies can continue to have a job, the clients can continue to benefit from the work, and there's a legacy there. And so, you know, legacy is this word that's thrown around, but I'm looking at it from a herd perspective in how we can function better as a herd, and how if there's a next alpha mare. And for me, like, we have a, Sharifa, you said A Better Place Consulting, that's one of the five companies, but we are looking for a CEO to take over for that company, because when we talk about the purpose, my purpose really, and a lot of entrepreneurs run into this, is not to run the company. My purpose is to do these retreats at a ranch to teach people what we just talked about and to demonstrate it through experiential learning and experiential activities, but it's also in speaking. And I found that, you know, as we grow, I'm spending more and more time speaking and more time with the small business owners. And we have these large corporate clients. And so it's like, for the growth of the company, can I take a step back and implement a CEO so that, you know, if COVID has taught me anything, so that, you know, we can continue to have this visionary approach. You know, that's what was coming up for me, Ken, when you were talking about that.
I like that. We might have to hire Sharifa. I'll be your new CEO. I don't know. I just like, or on your Drop the Mic podcast, Mic Drop, I always look for little fits for me. But if not, I'm sure someone in my network may be able to assist you. I got some great people who may make for great CEOs. I want to go back to you, Jeff, because one of the things, you know, I was distracted, so you might have said it, but what is the optimum sleep time?
It does depend on person to person, right? But between 7 and 9 hours, typically. Although you can train yourself and you use little tips and tricks to get that down, but usually it's the standard 7 to 9 hours, somewhere around there. And obviously it changes based on how old you are and stress in your life and things of that nature. And a lot of times, you know, if you don't get much sleep for a couple of days, you actually do need to recoup that. So day to day, it can even change.
Mm-hmm. They say 72 hours is that time frame. That's how you drive someone insane. That's what I heard. I don't know. I haven't tried.
I'll ask my wife.
Maybe. Well, you know, we see it in Elon Musk, who mm-hmm. is famous for not sleeping and mm-hmm. coming out with these bizarre statements and these bizarre behaviors that were, to me, very clearly related to lack of sleep. It's like, dude, you need to rest your brain. You need to get rid of some of those toxins because you are hallucinating.
You sound like me, and I always tell people, when I see kids running around, my cure-all is a nap. Like, oh, he needs a nap. He yelling too much, he needs a nap. Like, that was when my kids used to argue. They're 23 and 26 now, but when they used to argue, but oh, everybody needs a nap. Like, that was to fix the problem. But it's interesting now, even as an adult, when people have this, what do you want to be? What have you always wanted to be? If you can be anything in your life, Sharifa, what would you do? And I'd be like, I go to sleep. Like, that's really what I would do. You know, I do 5 of the Roundtable talk shows a week. I have my Ask Sharifa video cast show that I do every now and then, depending on when I have guests. I just launched my new show, which is Face to Face with my co-host Paul Faust, which I'm so excited about. That's Wednesdays at 10 a.m. where we're digging into like some of the deep conversations about race and politics and what's going on in America. So it's like, I just want to go to sleep. I don't want to add another career. I don't want to add another vision. I just want a nap. Am I alone on that?
No, I was agitating for a while to create a business where people could come in and take naps.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the business. Yeah. They would pay a monthly fee, like mm-hmm. like a spa. And we'd have these nice dark rooms, and we'd have like yoga mats and blankets and people could lie down and afterwards we could serve milk and cookies or mm-hmm. alternative milk products and gluten-free, whatever, and allow people to be able to take rest breaks during the day. Mm-hmm. Because Ken, what you were talking about with the judges is that it's very clear, even, you know, we have sleep cycles, right? Where we go down into sleep and come back up, but we also have awake cycles. And the brain has like a 90-minute period where, you know, you get to the top of the curve and you're running on all pistons and everything is going. And then after that is what my teacher called dysfunction junction. Mm-hmm. Is after that, everything is going downhill and the brain just doesn't work as well. And you need to get sleep, you need to meditate, you need to do something to shut that off and regenerate.
I love that idea because it reminds me of my first job out of high school. At 18 years old, I went to work for TWA, for Trans World Airlines, and our call center was open 24/7, and we can work almost unlimited overtime, but we had a sleep room. That's literally what it was. It was just cots, and they had little, you know, those airline blankets, and we would work maybe 8 hours or whatever, 10 hours, and then we'd go take a nap for a couple of hours, come back, rest it, and we would go back to work. So it definitely shows in our production and our productivity when we were rested. Bunny, you were going to say
something?
They do have
nap cafes. So I've seen them and I've endorsed them. And as well as that 90-minute figure is now down to 25. So today, the average American has a 25-minute attention span before they need a 5 to 10 minute to 20 minute break. And that's where we're seeing a lot of social media coming into the workplace, is because people will stay focused for 25 minutes and then their phone goes off and then they've got to go check email or they have to change tasks. And the issue is getting people up after that 25 minutes. So, you know, having them move and those kinds of things. And Jeff, to your point, I work with the military and they train themselves to sleep. My joke is anytime they're not moving, they're like sharks. Like anytime they're not moving for 2 minutes, they're asleep. And I think that is the brain trying to heal from what it's just seen and experienced and been a part of and the amount of stress. So it's, and Jeff, correct me if I'm wrong, it is, but in my therapy work, you know, as a therapist, understanding that it's the amount of time you're awake, but it's also what you experience when you're awake. So I can be awake for 10 minutes, but I can receive enough trauma in my brain in that 10 minutes of being awake for, you know, 72 hours that my brain needs to shut down and recycle that spinal fluid in order for me to feel rested again.
Jeff, you want to respond to that?
Seems fine with me. No arguments there. I do want to point out though, with that study, it actually centered largely around food intake. So as much as it was about sleep, a lot of the study focused, like lunch was a big point in that study with the judges. It was partially about sleep, but also partially about food intake, and they could track it to when they were eating.
Great point, Ken. One of the things that I wanted to ask you is, one of the magic words over the last 4 months or so is this word pivot. Pivot. And we've seen companies do complete pivots from being completely brick and mortar stores to now I'm only virtual. You know, maybe my business was doing retreats. Now all I can do is virtual retreats. What are some of the things or tips, strategies, guidelines you've been given to the CEOs in order to remain successful during this time frame?
I think the number one thing is to acknowledge that this is a time called normal, not normal. Mm-hmm. And that you can be sitting at your desk doing work that feels perfectly normal, and then an alert pops up saying that the infection rates in your state have now, you know, exceeded any previous number. So you have this very strange dichotomy between the normal and then the utterly not normal that are happening all at the same time. And so to acknowledge that and acknowledge that people are reacting to that, and to give people space to do that. And so part of the pivot is really just an acknowledgement of what people need. I think the second thing is to have more frequent conversations with your team members and to make them briefer. And so instead of these long meetings where people are expected to have attention spans that are going to go over an hour or 90 minutes of time, get on the phone once a day, check in with your team or team members individually, ask how they are first and foremost, above all else, ask how their family's doing, then have a conversation about work, but make it in that order. Don't be afraid. Third thing, don't be afraid to have conversations that are personal. And Bunny, you may have been saying this earlier, there's no such thing in my mind as work and life. We have one life. That's it. It's one life. It's my life expressed at work. It's my life expressed at home. It's my life expressed at play. But it's one life. And so get away from the notion of silos and allow those to actually interact with each other, knowing that if you give somebody an opportunity to talk about, hey, my best friend was just hospitalized yesterday and it's really on my mind, that simply by being able to express and share that, they're going to have a sense of relief and be able to move on to do the work more efficiently and more effectively. And the last piece around all of this is just to stay agile and let that be okay. We've seen businesses go back to their brick and mortar location and then have to close the brick and mortar location down and leave, and to have some fluidity around it and let it be okay. Just let it be okay. I lied. That wasn't the last thing. The last thing is actually, this. And that is to understand that the solution actually lies within the problem. And I think we've gotten, in the United States in particular, in the entrepreneurial community in particular, this notion of crush it, kill it, destroy it, right? That's what we're going to do today. And I, you know, that mentality, I guess, from time to time can be useful if you really want to fire people up, but I find it to be short-lived and I find it to be very shallow. I would rather embrace the problem and look deeply within it for the solution that's there. There is something to be taught in that problem. And if we can take the time to do it and not avoid it, this goes to the whole Stoic principle of the obstacle is actually the way, a book by Ryan Holiday. If we can actually look at our problems, our obstacles, not as something there to derail us, but as something there to teach us, then we have an opportunity to create something magnificent out of all of this.
Could I speak to that, Ken? That was just absolutely fabulous. What you said about the obstacle is the way. I love the whole Stoic principles. The card that I pulled up that was oppression, that had all of these, you know, bars and things tied up, is probably a little hard to see. I'll post the photos later. In a different deck, that card has a picture of a cage and there's a canary. And he's trying to fit his little head through the bars of the cage. And you can see him, he's almost got it through. And he's pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. And behind him, the door is open.
Yes, I think that's deep.
Right? That's the oppression card. That's what that underlying meaning is. It's like, yes, the obstacle, you know, just sit back for a second and take a look around. Maybe you've come to that intersection in the cornrows that you can say, oh, I want to go that way.
Yeah, it makes sense. That's
the perspective of what's really going on. And I tell this to people all the time. It's like, stop, turn around, look, what's really available to you, rather than just focusing on, you know, crushing the problem.
Killing the problem, as Ken said. So yes. Sue, talk to us about being a profit attraction master. What do people come to you for? What can you assist our viewers with?
So I help struggling entrepreneurs who are totally in despair about their business. And this is actually something that I talk to a lot of them now about, is like, what do I do with my business? How do I get it going? How do I manage this? And so I have a five-step process that I help people figure out who they really are. I mean, that's 90% of the issue, if you're adopting the idea and the mindset of being an entrepreneur means you have to run 72 hours at a shot, and you're really kind of the laid back, you know, let it be kind of person, that will never succeed for you. You need to work within your own personality type. Clearing the decks, which I help them with, I use a particular form of sound healing to clear those unconscious blocks out of the life so that they don't come back anymore. They're just gone. And that clears the deck so that they can get in touch with their vision again, which is what they really wanted to do in the first place. It's their vision of helping people. I mean, many entrepreneurs just have a really great idea and they've got a product or they've got something that they want to bring to market. But I think the vast majority of entrepreneurs want to help people. They mm-hmm. want to provide something that helps somebody do something. And I'm a subscriber to Product Hunt, and it's just so wonderful to see all of these great solutions that people had for really interesting stuff that helps people. It's like, oh, I did this because, you know, a bunch of my friends ran into this, and so we needed to solve this problem. That's what entrepreneurs do, is they solve problems, they help people. And if you can get in touch with that vision again, once you've gotten clear of all of the garbage that's mucking up the vision, then I help them structure their business so that it is in fact successful and they are doing what they need to do. And I call it, I download business plans. You know,
so you know, because in the woo-woo metaphysical, they call it a download. So the download comes through. Right. With their business plan. I think that's wonderful. So next time you come on the show, you're going to grace us with a little sound healing?
Sure, absolutely. I actually brought my tuning forks here in case we got to it. But
okay, go ahead. We got a couple of seconds.
Okay. Yeah. So these particular forks, they're called, the pair is called body tuners. And these are resetting your nervous system so that nitric oxide gets released from your cells and it de-stresses your body. Now, this microphone may not pick up all of the tones, so I'm not gonna guarantee. I actually recorded them on a really good mic that picks up like 99% of the tones, but we'll see what I can make happen here. Now, normally I hold them up to people's ears and have the combined tones is what resets the brain, what resets the stress level. It's truly amazing. I watch people, I've actually had people slither out of their seats because the physiological stress markers just go and they're just relaxed.
Well, I'm relaxed. I'm definitely relaxed. So I felt something. I don't know exactly what it was, but I felt something.
Something came through. That's awesome. Yes.
And I appreciate you sharing that with us. Now we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show. And what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who's watching the show live, as well as everyone who's watching the show in the archives, and simply let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. And we're going to start with you, Bunny.
So one of the things that the past 5 minutes of this conversation has brought up that I want the listeners to take away is that if you're feeling anxious, if you're feeling overwhelmed, you know, as we have said, look around, you know, there's a lot happening in the world and there's a lot happening from a bunch of different places. I happen to live outside of Richmond, Virginia. And so there's a lot of angst happening right now as people are not feeling heard and people are feeling very unrested. And that impacts the energy, impacts statewide, impacts globally. And so remember that you're the most valuable resource that your company has, that your family has, and that you have. And so start there with the self-awareness, doing some labeling and noting of how you're feeling. And don't look for a why, just look for how I'm feeling, because once we have that how I'm feeling, we can move forward from there and take care of you please stay safe, stay sane, and I hope that I see you again on Ask Sharifa or in between then on social media.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bunny. Jeff, you gonna give us a couple of minutes? We're on mute, Jeff.
Sorry. It's okay. All I would say is thank you all for your time. You know, I've really enjoyed the conversation, and I think the big message I have is that I think you need to start looking at your day and realizing that sleep is more important than you previously thought, and that you should stop prioritizing an extra hour of TV or another hour of Facebook scrolling, and start prioritizing sleep. Get a Kindle, get a real book, and try to get your 7, 8, 9 hours in.
Yes, and I see that bike behind you. Looks like one of them Pelotons or something. So yes, you ma'am. Sleep, exercise. Like, I see you keep everything in order. Mine would look like a clothes hanger by now.
Well, I don't have kids yet. I'm sure that'll get packed away once I have kids.
No, I like it. Thank you, Jeff. Sue, what do you have for us?
Well, I think I'm going to sort of follow on Bunny and Jeff there, is that, you know, you're it. You've got this, and you want to take care of you in the best way possible. You are the most important person on the planet. I don't care who you are, because you can make a difference, and you don't know what difference you have already made and what difference you might be making, but you need to take care of you. Get rested, get fed, get hydrated, and have fun so that you can make that difference in the world, whatever it is, however small, however big.
That was so beautiful. I just enjoy when you come on the show. We'll have to figure out something for next time. Ken, what do you have for us?
I just say to your listeners who are entrepreneurs, you were called and drawn to entrepreneurship for a reason, and that is that you love to create and you love to invent. And I would encourage you to take a look around at your company, at your teams, and ask yourself just a simple question. Have I structured my teams in such a way that they can lead while I create? And if the answer is no, there's a way through that. And to take advantage of the opportunity to do that so that you're freed up to do that thing that called you to entrepreneurship in the first place.
I think that was kind of the theme for today, is operating a business that can operate without you, even if you have to be gone for months at a time. So I think that's key. Thank you for that point. I also want to thank all of you for being my guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live and everyone who's watching this show in the archives. I appreciate your support. Don't just watch the show. Share the show with your friends so they can also receive this information. And don't just watch our guests. Interact with our guests. We've added their websites to the post and Facebook to the link. Check out their websites. Follow them on social media. Send them a message. Send them a friend request. Send them a tweet. And when you contact them, please let our guests know that Sharifa Hardy says hi. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at AskSharifa.com. Until next time, which is my next show in about an hour or so, face-to-face, which comes on at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'll be live in about an hour, but I'll be back with the Roundtable Talk Show at 8 a.m. Pacific Time tomorrow morning. Until then, everyone stay safe, wear your mask, and have a blessed day. Bye now.